Today's reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, and that is on page 1042 of your books. That's 1042. At the home of Martha and Mary, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen to do what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Before we look at this passage, let's pray together, shall we? Dear Lord, we pray that as we look at this short but powerful passage, that you would teach us from it, in the sense that supports the passage. And so we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear you and to respond. Amen. Many of you know that over the last seven Sundays, we've been following a series which has been looking at what the Bible says about God's Word, the different aspects to it, a series called The Life-Giving Word. And I wanted to say, when I was talking about it, the importance of God's Word, but sort of the importance doesn't cover it, does it? Sort of like saying breathing is important. I mean, it's vital, and God's Word is central to life itself. I mean, all the things we have are because through God's Word, because he spoke, creation itself. And the life that we are given, through the new life, eternal life, is through God's Word. It's the very message that we give. So I'm not going to attempt to summarize the seven-week series, but let me read to you from John chapter 5, verse 24, which was part of the reading last week. "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Well, in this new series, we are hearing God in a noisy world, and we're looking over three Sundays. This one, we're looking at the right posture in hearing God in a noisy world. And it's sort of, if you like, the response to that series about the life-giving word. And if another way of putting it is the application of it, how we're to live with that. And it is a noisy world, not in the sense that, you know, we can hear the M3 from here, but I mean in the sense that there are many different voices that are clamoring for our attention. It's noisy in that sense. Ideas and opinions are thrown at us all the time, maybe through the media or through online platforms. There seem to be a range, an increasing range, of ways in people can target you and they can influence or try and influence us. For example, I don't know about you, but I've noticed that in recent films that I've watched or dramas on television, there is often an underlying agenda. They want to steer you, affect how you think, educate you, maybe they think. For example, it's been chilling to listen to how the Russians are being told that things are going on and why they're going on in Ukraine. One writer put it, it's Putin's alternative universe. I find it harder to hear when there's a lot of noise about, when a lot of other people are speaking. I find it hard to focus and to hear what maybe one particular person is saying. Give my attention to one thing. But as Christians, we need to try and do that, to give our attention to hear God better. So let's look at this passage. You'll notice that somebody's put a heading here, at the home of Martha and Mary. Sort of reminded me of a 60s style TV show, At the Home of Martha and Mary. Anyway, that's sort of irrelevant, but the passage itself is very relevant. And I've got four headings. Here they are. Conversations on the way, and we're going to look at different verses on each. Being distracted, where the distractions lead, and Mary has chosen what is better. So first of all, we're looking at conversations on the way. And I'm going to read verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So when he's saying, it's significant that he's saying, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, it's not a matter of that he just happened to be passing, so he thought he'd drop in on Martha. He was actually heading somewhere. And it's a particular journey. In chapter 9, verse 51, Luke records, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And from that point on, Luke records the events that happened there in Jesus' life in the form of a journey to Jerusalem. Encounters with a wide variety of different people. And what we do is listen in on their conversations. Last year, we had a recommended Lent book by a chap called Sinclair B. Ferguson. And he was looking at these chapters, actually, in Luke, and inviting us, as we went through Lent, to come on that journey of Jesus over Lent. And what we see is Jesus as a teacher. That's what Luke is showing us, teaching about his way, how to be a Christian, how to follow him in that way, on that journey. So we read, Martha opened her home to him. Now, Martha and Mary are mentioned in John's Gospel, which records that they lived in a place called Bethany. So that's the village we're talking about 2 miles outside Jerusalem. And there was also a brother called Lazarus, not mentioned here. But Luke makes the point of saying that Martha opened her home. Just before I go any further, just as an aside, Martha doesn't come out very well in this passage, but read John chapter 11 if you want to look at that further, because Martha makes a terrific profession of faith, and that gives you a broader picture of what she then went on to become a great follower of Jesus. But anyway, Martha opened her home, and maybe that was because she was the oldest of the sisters, or older than her brother, and whatever, she clearly run the domestic affairs here. She was in charge of hospitality. She saw it as her responsibility, you could say. In fact, the name Martha means lady or mistress of the house. So what I'm driving at here is that the hospitality she's shown to these guests, she would see that as very important to her. Furthermore, the hospitality that we're talking about here is Jewish hospitality. It's not like, would you like a glass of water? I mean, this is real hospitality. The sort of hospitality that Jesus could send out his 12 disciples with nothing but just to rely on the hospitality that they would receive. And into the surrounding villages they went. And then later, of course, Jesus sent 72 out. So there is then a real expectation on Martha at this point as she opens her home to Jesus, and we don't know how many disciples, presumably not 72. So bearing that in mind, we look at what happens next. So my second point, getting distracted. Verses 39 to the first bit of 40, and I'll read that. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So what we see here in many ways is a scenario that played out in homes around the world, I should imagine. And some of you will relate to. Where guests arrive in your house and one person sits and chats with them, where the other person rushes about like crazy, getting all the drinks and the food and so on. And that's perhaps interesting, it's not puzzling, because Luke then describes Martha as being distracted. by all the preparations. Verse 40. Because at first sight, you might say that seems a little bit unfair. Because, I mean, doesn't she need to be serving the guests? Isn't that her role? Isn't that what is expected of her? You might even argue, actually, that it's Mary that's, if you're looking from Martha's point of view, it's Mary that's being distracted here because she isn't doing nothing about being a host. And they are her guests as well. In my house, it's often the case that I'm the one that would go and sit with the guests and chat with them while my wife works in the kitchen. And maybe that's because I'm not any good in the kitchen, and it's probably better for everybody if I just kept well out of it. But maybe we need to consider at this point, what do we mean by distracted? Maybe your school report says things like is easily distracted, like looking out the window, scribbling pictures on your maths book and sticking your tongue out at somebody across the room, being distracted. In other words, wasting your time doing something that doesn't need to be done at all and being very not productive, rather than actually applying yourself to the thing you ought to be doing. Of course, you don't need to go to school to be distracted. You can be working at home and be distracted by making cups of tea and listening to the news, or looking out the window watching your fence get blown down. Whenever I sit down to do something, like, for example, this talk, I find that I'm able to find no end of things to be distracted by. But I want to note here an important point about this. Because we can be distracted by many things, and are, and no doubt. But are the things that distract you always unproductive things? It may often be that they're quite good things to be doing. They're just not the best thing to be doing. And maybe like, you need to pop around and see your neighbor and ask how they are, but then you've got this important job to do in the garden, so, you know, you've been thinking about doing it for ages, so you go and do that job rather than go round to your neighbor. And if Martha is being distracted, then it's not by something that is unimportant. In many ways, that is the problem here. The verse we got here implies that Martha has made something of a big thing out of this hospitality. She's gone a bit over the top, over elaborate. And she seems to work herself up into a frenzy, as people are wont to do. The more she thinks about Mary doing nothing in the other room, if that's where they are, and she thinks Mary ought to be doing what she wants her to do. And so she thinks, here I am working like a maniac, and she's then chatting in the next room. You can imagine her rushing about the place, increasingly get agitated, chopping the onion to within an inch of its life. She is doing something good. She is serving the Lord. To her, it has become the most important thing, more important than what Mary is doing. So Martha loses it big time. And this comes to my third point, where the distraction leads. The second bit of verse 40. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. So she came to him, Luke says, and you can imagine it, hands on hips, standing over her sister, angry with both her sister and with Jesus. So she then does three things, notice. First, she accuses Jesus. She says, Lord, don't you care? Secondly, she accuses Mary, my sister. You can imagine her spitting that one out. My sister has left me to do the work by myself. But she's not finished yet. Then she tells Jesus what he ought to do. Tell her to help me. It's sort of embarrassing, isn't it, really? But what we need to consider here for a moment is how it has come to this point. She is calling him Lord, but she's certainly not treating him as Lord. But I have seen, I don't know about you, this kind of problem in the churches over the years, where someone has a particular thing that is their role and that they believe is a good thing. Maybe they feel it's being overlooked or not given enough attention. Maybe it's the music, maybe it's the fabric of the church, maybe it's the care of the gardens, some idea they got for house groups. But as I'm saying this, I'm conscious that I can give you the impression that we're talking about small issues and just not getting a little bit out of perspective with stuff. But this is not actually a small issue at all. It's about how we stand, our posture, as the title says, in relation to the vital place of hearing God speak his word, listening to him. So let's consider what Jesus' response is to Martha. And this is my fourth point. Mary has chosen what is better. And I'm going to read verse 41 and 2. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." So Jesus' response here, you notice, I hope, is very gentle. He repeats her name, calming her and showing concern for her and what has caused this outburst. He doesn't give her a lecture on losing your temper or on getting your priorities right. Instead, he gets to the root of the problem here, and he says, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Some commentators have thought that the one thing is referring to the catering. So you don't need to go to all this trouble. A cheese sandwich would have been okay. But I don't think it's anything like that. The one thing that he is referring to is what Mary has chosen, to sit and listen to his teaching. So in the process of serving him, Martha has actually lost sight of Jesus. In the process of doing things for him, she is not actually being with him. So gently but firmly, Jesus puts Martha straight. Mary has chosen what is better, and Jesus is not about to take that from her. He's not going to tell her to go and help her sister. So he is saying here that it is better for her to sit at his feet and learn than for her to work in the kitchen. The exact opposite of what Martha is thinking and rather forcefully saying. Just as an aside here, let me point out that that would have been a shocking thing to say, because in those days the Jews thought that a woman should never sit and learn at the feet of a rabbi. That was not done. And that she should be in the kitchen would be exactly what they thought she should be doing. Jesus disagreed. But let ourselves not get distracted, because that's not the main point. The main point is that he's saying that about all people, that the better thing to do. So I want us for a moment to see in what way is it that Mary has chosen better exactly. Firstly, note that Jesus is not saying that what Martha is doing is of no value, because he says that serving others is exactly what we ought to be doing. That's what he came to serve us, and we ought to be serving others in the same way. And somebody after the morning service said to me, should I stop doing any acts of service? Well, sure, you shouldn't do, should you? That's what we should be doing. But that is not the better thing that he's referring to. So let us apply this to ourselves for a moment by comparing what happens here in Martha's home, and then what happens to Christians, to Christian churches today. What leads to the angry outburst is an attitude, an approach, a stance in relation to the word. Many Christians, like Martha, take up different works of service where they see a need, where they're maybe particularly asked to do something. They get involved and they concentrate their efforts on these works of service, maybe social action, food banks, helping the homeless, to those on the margins of society, running lunch clubs and youth groups, so on. And they can see that these are good things to be involved in, to be doing. And they are. But where this goes wrong is when people begin to elevate that to a level that it shouldn't be at. Those roles, they put them above where they should be. I guess maybe they make us feel important in some way, like we are somehow justifying ourselves. Martha thought that the thing that she was doing should take precedence over what Mary was doing, listening to Jesus. So easily we can get to imagining that what we are doing is something that is somehow more vital, somehow more relevant to the culture in which we live. So slowly we begin to let go of spending time listening to Jesus' teaching. Is this how that was less important than this important job that we're doing? We're really helping people. But in point of fact, what we're doing when we do that is to let go of the word of life. Let go of the source of the church's power and life. The motivation that will keep us going when things get tough. When our human weakness and the evil one tells us that it's all futile anyway. I hope my explanation is making some sense, because then it gets deeper. This then led Martha to the point where she tries to correct Jesus, the word, imagining that he does not care, and so directing him as to what he should do. This is the next stage in a stance where we begin to see the good works of service as more important than listening to him. When Martha came to him, as Luke puts it, she would have been standing over her sister and over Jesus. Then instead of sitting under his teaching, she came to stand in judgment over it. And there is a real temptation there for us too. We can get so carried away with the important works that we are doing or think we're doing, we imagine somehow that we care more than Jesus does. Don't you care? So begin to think that to address the problems of today, we need to be up to date. We need to seek to change scripture or reinterpret it, or just to conclude that it is wrong. And there are Christians and churches that have gone down that route, who are trying to bring God's word in line with how the world thinks. This account of Martha and Mary reveals an important truth. We need to think carefully about the position, the posture we take with Scripture and Jesus' teaching. We are to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. And even in the business of serving him, we must always remember that to humbly listen to what he says is the better way. We should always be the ones to sit at the Lord's feet listening to what he says. Because only then can we truly serve him. Only then do we follow him. Let me pray for us for a minute. Dear Lord, help us, I pray, to always make time to spend with you and your word. And when we do, to do so with an attitude to humbly learn from you, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Well, as we take a seat, I'm going to invite Andrew back up for some question and answers. It's very nice to be this side asking the questions. Andrew, there's some really helpful questions, so thank you very much for participating. We're going to ask them in reverse order, if that's okay. Is there a list of acts in order of importance that we should have, like a hierarchy or something, or is it just a wisdom thing?
No, there's no list. I thought there might be, I don't think I'd give that, because, you know, how are you going to say what's more important, that, you know, making the tea is more important than doing the PA? There's no list. I mean, the whole idea is that we give priority to listening to Jesus speaking, and that's it. So it's for each of us to look at our lives and say, is that what we're doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So although I'm asking the questions, Rob, chip in if I've missed something.
No, I think that's very helpful. And I guess, just off the back of that, I guess you might, that's very helpful what you say about actually it's, are we listening to Jesus' words, or are we doing something that aids the listening to Jesus' words, which is the real, you know, if there is a hierarchy, it's that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very helpful. Okay. I don't know what to make of this question. How do we know which cheese sandwiches or distractions are getting in the way of us listening to God's word?
Over to you on that. I think we all each need to examine our lives and say, is there something that's getting in the way of us listening to God's word? I mean, only you know whether that is true or not. It's for each of us to work that out, I think. As long as you know that, as Jesus says, there's one thing that's important. As long as you know that, then you should be able to work it out.
Thank you. And you just really helped. Sorry, I'm responding to the sermon here, but really, I found it really helpful in you showing us that actually it's a good thing Martha's doing.
Yeah.
It's not like drug dealing or listening to God's word. It's it's serving and.
Yeah.
Which is where it starts to get under the skin, doesn't it?
That's where, in a sense, it becomes a bit more difficult, really, oddly, because then you can start feeling pleased with yourself.
Yeah. Final question. You helpfully listed out some of the good things that fall short of sitting at Jesus' feet, but they were more in the context of churches out there. Any thoughts on how we're more a St. Martha's than a St. Mary's? Clever question, like it.
Yeah, very clever. Yeah. Wish I had a clever answer. I sort of deliberately avoided saying things about here, because, you know, it's not for me to sort of point to the finger at things in which we can become more like St. Martha's. Like I said earlier, it's up to you to look at it, but I've always felt about St. Mary's that we are a church that concentrates on the word and on sharing the word, and each individual giving time to listening to it. So that's a good thing. But we, like any other church, are very much in danger of promoting the good things that you do, this acts of service, to something more than they should be. So there's a temptation for us all, I think. If that answers it.
Thank you, it really does. So thank you, Andrew. You're off the hook. Yeah, great.